Okay, let's bring this meeting to order. December 6, 2011, Newburyport City Council, Conservation Commission and City Council Chambers. First item on the agenda, the minutes of November 15th. Do you have any comments, changes?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Next item is the wetlands ordinance, which was accepted by City Council and was sent to committee. That committee is meeting tomorrow night, but they will not be discussing the ordinance. It is most likely going to get put on to, what's the term they use?
It'll be continued into the next session. I expect that on Monday night at the full City Council meeting, Barry and Katie will vote to continue into the next council session because their terms end. That'll be carried over in January, and then it'll be put on the first meeting as on their docket again, and they'll just pick up where they left off. But because they canceled the last meeting in December, they decided there's not enough time for them to have a good dialogue about it.
They'll probably be pretty busy tomorrow night, too.
Yeah.
Okay, next one is we have a new conservation agent, Julia Godfredson. Hi, Julia. What's old is new again.
She's just sitting in this evening, but she'll be coming to the office, and we'll be going over a few things, and then you'll see her rolling into the meeting. So.
All righty. Welcome, Julia.
Welcome back. Thank you.
Next item is beach access walkover.
It's been partly constructed right now. It's not done yet. The agreement, I have to have it signed still by the parties. I wanted to have that for you tonight. I haven't had a chance to get everybody's signature. Some of the residents, I have to go out and go out there and have them sign it. So I should have that at your next meeting with no problem. That'll be what we do. They did install the there's a box with the walkway right now that will have the winch system in it, and if you're out there right now, you'd see the gangway rolled up on top of it. But it's almost finished. They have to do the cable hookups first.
So then it's
going to
be up. It's up for the winter.
It will be up for the winter. Yeah, they're going to do a run through with us and showing us how it operates, you know, up and down, officially. But then it'll be up for the winter season.
Where is it, 55th?
55th, yeah. And then we'll be doing, we wanted to wait until they're completely finished with the walkway and gangway, but we'll be doing some dune grass planting and fencing just to protect the dune grasses and plants as well. But we wanted to wait until they were done going through there to do the construction.
Okay. Next item is informal discussion regarding Whittier Bridge filing of the NOI and the consultant review.
We have some representatives from MassDOT here this evening, and this matter was discussed briefly at the public meeting that we had, not the last week, but the week before. Time flies. So we had some discussion about the peer review, and MassDOT is presenting a solution or an alternative to that. So I don't know who wants to speak. But.
Diana, I think, sent us a draft. You guys had a chance to review it?
Right, and they had sent it to me, and I apologize, I couldn't get it sent to you sooner. When my email was actually down until like late day today, with a server update that was going on. So I printed those out, they're on your desk this evening. What it in essence says is that, there's a design firm that's doing the principal design, a peer review firm, FST, would do a review of the stormwater for this. One of the issues that came up at the meeting that we had, the joint meeting between the communities, I think Joe, you might have been really you were both there. The issue that came up was having a entirely third party, a group that was responsible directly to the commission, and that was part of the concern, rather than having two firms reporting both directly to MassDOT. I wanted to note, however, that, I'm sure FSD is very qualified with this. The city engineer will be doing a review of the stormwater this as well. They'll be sending a packet directly to him. So in the event that might satisfy some of the commission's concerns. John Eric White, who's our city engineer, will be looking at the full stormwater design and reporting back to the commission the same way that FSD would, and obviously then the applicant best to let you know if there's some concerns about the design. He does have to take a look at the plans anyway as they go about for the water main relocation, that sort of thing. So he'll be getting a full stormwater packet and plans. You have in your packets the plan layout only. The stormwater report is very large, two binders, and he'll be getting a copy of that to review and let you know if there's concerns on what FSD comments are.
Is Christensen Sergi going to do anything with the stormwater report?
We have not requested Christensen Sergi to do a review. That was one of the questions that we sort of left open tonight as to what you want to do with it. Mass DOT has felt that the more efficient way of dealing with it is to have, and we did talk about having one consultant, which is, I think all communities agreed on having one consultant. The concern was more sort of who directly does the consultant report to, and obviously being concerned about, the consultant reporting directly to us. But in the interest of efficiency, MassDOT has put forward, we've already aligned a contract with someone, we have someone ready to go, they're qualified to do it. I've seen FSD's work, they're qualified to do it. But the question for the commission is there a need, do you feel there's a need to have a party who's entirely reporting to the commission beyond FSD and beyond the city as engineer? So.
Explain to me what FSD is versus
sorry, they're
DOT
an
versus...
They're a private engineering firm. Spofford and Thorndike. They're an engineering firm, and they do stormwater reviews, traffic engineering design, that sort of thing. So they have their full engineering firm, and this is one of the facets they do with stormwater reviews. So they would be doing a review and commenting on the plans that come in by December 23rd, I believe, we would have the comments. That's the way that this proposal is written. So what you'll see here is the scope of services that talks about the consultant reviewing comments or questions from the commission, being at the meeting to comment and answer any questions, but providing a written commentary on any issues found with the plans that were prepared by MassDOT's consultant.
And if I could just clarify how this came about. This did not initially come about because of the request by this CONCOM or other CONCOMs on third-party reviews. Because of the size of this project and the aggressive schedule that we have, we felt internally that we needed somebody to take a look at the design that was done by PB and their sub-consultant to ensure that we're meeting the stormwater regulations. And what we wanted to do was try to expedite the NOI reviews and try to eliminate as many of the comments that we could anticipate. By having FST review it, they would try to pick up some of the comments that we would anticipate coming in so that we could address them early on and try to stay on schedule for this project. And Andy just stepped out. But Michael O'Dowd is the project manager on this project, and he wanted me to kind of be very clear tonight. FST works for MassDOT. We are extending this invitation to the CONCOMs to comment on the scope and also have interaction with FSD directly. MassDOT will be a part of that also. The intent is for FSD to take a look at our design and ensure stormwater compliance. As far as who they report to, whether they report to MassDOT or the board, should make absolutely no difference in the outcome. Absolutely no difference. They're looking for the same thing that DOT is looking for and the compounds are looking for and our consultants are looking for. And that's full compliance with the stormwater regulations. So I just want to be very clear about that. We're not hiring FST to work for the CONCOMs. We're hiring FST to ensure compliance with our stormwater regulations. And Andy, you stepped out, but we are inviting you guys to comment on the scope because we want to ensure that they're looking at everything that needs to be looked at, obviously, for the stormwater regs. And we're going to allow, obviously, interaction with FSD, direct interaction with them is fine. But we want to be a part of that and be involved in that when we feel it's necessary. Doesn't mean you can't pick up the phone and call the project manager for FSD and have discussions with them. That's what this is for. But we are doing this because of the size of the project. It is not something that we are required to do, nor is it something that we intend to do for future projects. So I want to make that very clear. This is a one-time offer that we're doing on the Whittier Bridge project. So I was asked to make that statement.
Can I add that this is still about the Protection Act, of the impact and mitigation as well as stormwater focusing on stormwater.
Yeah, I think
that. Yeah, that was the question.
It's the whole file. Yeah, so Wetlands and Wildlife is a sub-consult at FST.
Yep.
Mark Venice. So we'll be doing a review
of the I had started looking at the stormwater report myself, although I'm not an engineer, but I have some background in it. It seems to me the bigger issue for us is stormwater. There's really not much of a wetlands impact per se. It's more how the stormwater is being treated. The report starts off with a pretty good explanation. I'll give you some excerpts from that to sort of boil it down with what you get from our city engineer, but it explains some of the rationales to how the stormwater is being treated based on the regs and the state policies. But it starts off with a pretty good framework before you get into the heavier parts of the caps.
I mean, the bottom line on this project, and Andy, you've been meeting this on a regular basis the last year.
Yep.
We all have the same goals in this project. And for us as an agency, we've got a very tight schedule, as you know, Andy.
Right.
And the last thing we want is comments that are going to slow down the project. And that's the main reason we wanted to hire FST to take a look at this and make sure we haven't missed anything and try to anticipate comments that you may have as a Concom agency and also from the other towns.
I'd like to add,
you
met the DEP three times over the last month our approach to stormwater specifically.
What was that, I'm sorry?
We met with the DEP three times over the last month to make sure that anything, all our assumptions about our stormwater approach are accurate.
And that's actually one of the things that triggered us hiring an FSG to start looking at it to make sure that we're making the right assumptions. It's a lot of gray areas in the stormwater handbook and all the other regulations. So we wanted to make sure that we're headed down the right path before we get too far along, we have to backtrack. Because we don't have the luxury of time on this project, as many of you know. So we thought that working with each of the Concoms and providing this information, it would certainly help and expediting the NOI reviews.
So what kind of a report can the Concoms expect to get from FSC?
You'll get an independent report on the design that we have, and you'll be able to work with them. You'll be able to pick up the phone, call with them, meet with them anytime you need to meet with them. We'll make our staff available to meet with you. It's going to be an open dialogue back and forth between all the Concom agencies.
You can email
the reason for that also, what Jim just said, is if you have a comment and we see something that PD can start addressing now, and have this self-consultant address, we want to try to stay on top of it. We don't want to have a report that has, 100 hours worth of work to get it in the shape that we need, and it's going to be doing a week. If we can go addressing issues along the way by meeting with the Concoms, it's beneficial to us.
Okay, well, I'll tell you one, was able to quickly skim through the fountain today.
Sure.
And one of the questions that kind of jumped out at me was that there was a lot of temporary alterations, especially with hand under water. I was kind of wondering how long is temporary and does that have an impact? So perhaps, that might be one of the things you want to be addressing.
Okay. And those are the kind of comments we're looking for.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And we have a consultant here, Wayne Gordon, with Carson Pringoff. So him hearing that, he can go back and already take that comment
and start
addressing it. So that's the whole intent of this, is to try to incorporate as much as we can up front.
Yeah. The one thing, some of you may not have heard of FST or Facebook, and don't like their full formal name, but they actually do a lot of work with Salisbury right now. They're a large regional East Coast transportation firm. Did bridge work. They do stormwater systems. They actually have done the design for their rail trail program. A number of their rails. They're very familiar with the with this area and the watersheds in this area. And they're more than qualified to get right into the project because of their knowledge they have of the area right now. I think he'd be fully satisfied with the type of review he got. And I know the state has worked to create an overall scope statement, for the consultant, and the idea was to visit all three Concoms and find out if there's some unique or specific scope that each town may want to be looked at, and then they were going to add that to the scope just to keep keep the package complete, and so they can modify the contract with the consultant so that work could be done.
I mean, the consultants they're already proceeding with the work, as far as I know. They did get all the information that we've provided to. So they're already working, because this is going to be, if we're going to get comments back on the 23rd, we got less than 3 weeks, and we're still talking about scopes, and this is only one ConCon that's left to talk to.
Yeah,
and they're working without an approved scope.
Okay. Just to be clear about the time frame, our next meeting is the commission meeting that this hearing would be beginning. I expect that it would continue into January, one or two meetings at least, and we would try to reach some conclusion at that point once we've had an FST review, the city's engineers review, and whatever back and forth over the stormwater. I would, of course, package that so you can sort of get the summary of what they've been talking about and what issues have come up and change to resolve.
And is, I know you can't speak for your city engineer, but is he going to be able to stay within our time frames?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yep. As soon as he gets a package, he's going to start working on it.
We should do that tomorrow. I know.
So it's FedEx tonight.
Yeah.
This afternoon.
No, that's good. Yeah.
In the spirit of sharing information, I wonder if the community has a question, and could you publish some sort of Q&A that might be available to all the communities? I don't know whether you have anything.
We have
online.
A website that has... Yeah. Questions and answers. Anything that we can make public right now, we have on the Whittier website.
So how about a Q&A that would involve questions that came from all the commissions? Would that be possible?
I mean, maybe the resolution of all this, the document, because we're going to post. Do we post the NOIs now? We're going to be posting the NOIs as far as the peer review, the secondary review of FST, that's when it's complete and everybody's happy with it. I don't see why we didn't post that.
But I think what I was kind of garnering is that in terms of the review for the towns on the document, you were wondering basically if, in terms of how questions were asked of the peer reviewer, whether he was basically keeping all the towns in the loop. So when one town asked a question about this, they basically got circulated back, so all the towns were just hearing this and keeping in the loop with all the questions.
I think one of the things that we were going to ask is if there'd be one point person for each of the ConComs. I don't know if that's going to be really.
I would be the point person. You may see a little bit of overlap with Julie and myself, but consider me on this project. Julie's our new administrator coming in. But I'll be communicating with John Eric White, who's our city engineer, so that everything. You really have to worry about contacting me, and I can make sure everything you need from our stormwater review.
I think in answer to your question, we're only going to have three point people. Now, that doesn't mean you can't all meet together at FST, for example. But if there's one point person, I think through email, the three people could probably share all the questions and information until we get to a resolution of comments and a final document. I wouldn't want to put comments on a website public until they're at least addressed.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the process.
Except for comments like how does the stormwater policy treat a different, redevelopment versus new development, I think most of the questions are probably going to be sort of area specific to the type of work that's going on. The impact on the Newburyport side is relatively smaller than the other communities, I think, in terms of the areas being impacted and that sort of thing. So I think, while it's a large project, the issues are relatively straightforward in terms of, redevelopment, new development, and the wellens impact. Basically the only work that's really happening in our resource areas near the Merrimack River. They're pulling the abutments back, so there's largely some improvements even to the treatment of the stormwater on the whole there. But we'll see that when we get in there. But I think it's largely going to be sort of specific to a wellens verification area north of the Merrimack River and the other communities, or how a detention basin is treating something. And that's probably going to come via the engineers going back and forth, and we can sort of package the dialogue for you either prior to the meeting as a packet or a presentation of the meeting.
There might be an instance where there's something that would be of interest to all three communities, and if so,
sure.
I just encourage the use of.
Yeah, I think we could. I think it's a good idea. I think we just need to kind of stop the process to see when the most appropriate time, which comments are most appropriate to.
Right.
And especially if it's definitions
it'll come
and
just
regulations.
Mind,
Is FST doing a review regarding the Wetlands Protection Act, or is there a subcontractor doing it?
Wetlands and Wildlife would be working with
Marshall Dennis, yes.
Yeah. Yes, Marshall Dennis, Wetlands and Wildlife. He's really good.
I did have a couple comments, but I think it's been a couple hours last night doing through this.
I have some concerns about the shading study. This is the existing bridge is approximately 200 square feet of salt marsh affected by shading, where the new bridge is somewhat over 2,000 square feet.
Right.
And it's just kind of fluffed off, and that's okay.
No, we actually reviewed that with the DP Rachel Freed in the northeast region. And what you have, the reason you have two structures now instead of one, but the new structures will be higher. So you go from severe shading impacts with the existing bridge to the elevated structure and the break in the middle. You only had moderate shading impacts, but over a greater area, which is actually more beneficial.
No, your existing values are 200 square feet at a low impact. You're going to 1,400 low impact, 700 moderate impact, and 20 severe. So,
yeah, there's much less severe.
If I could make a suggestion, there are some sites, there are some stormwater plan review type things that will come up as we get to the hearing process, which really doesn't start until our next meeting. I think tonight was mainly to talk about the process of the consultant review, because a lot of those things will be fleshed out in much more detail.
I wanted to hear comments before.
Basically,
I think that's a good point. That's that shading, because the studies that refer to, two of them were in North Carolina, and the other two were freshwater in Massachusetts. So I don't quite see the relevance.
There should be more detail in the EA.
There's also a CD, and there was a separate shading report. It was rather extensive that was done. And that's on the CD, which is in the back of the report.
Might answer most of
the questions. So in terms of the printed material associated with it, there's another
1,800, 18,000
pages that are basically on CD, and all the different attachments. And like there's an extensive report, which basically, through a program and shading analysis, went through and created the shading over the season on a quarterly basis. It was reviewed as some annual changes and to pick up the scope of the shade zone that was underneath the bridges. And you know, the bottom line, it was ascertained that actually the new structures, although there's more, is much less severe. There was a very severe impact before, and there's just a very small element right now. All of the grasses in the area with under the moderate should thrive fine. It's just under the severe that they're impacted.
This is all on the web too, right? It's all on the list of documents.
Everything is on the web.
Okay.
For those commission members that don't know, I apologize, I haven't distributed that entire binder because I don't have a copy for everybody, but I will send you tomorrow the link to where all those can be seen as PDFs online. So if you want to take a look at the sort of broader details that have been discussed in that report. You might have already sent it, actually. I think you had some time.
Yeah, I think I sent the link to a whole pile of different documents.
Okay.
The attachments to this document are expensive, so you can see the full model.
But there is a shading study. I mean, the bottom line is we acknowledge the comment, we'll address it, but I think a lot of the answers that you're looking for are in that report.
Like I said, we had to determine that a variance for shading the salt marsh was not required for this project, so we had to get that clear through DEP as one of the early action items.
And one other comment. In the what we received, it said that the Bartlett Pond was not a Class A water resource.
No RW.
ORW.
Right.
We have an NOI before us tonight for the water department where I believe it says it is.
There was an issue with the regulations and DEP. We had to go to them. The MassGIS does show it as an ORW. I can forward you the determination they made. It's kind of one of those gray areas where it wasn't included in the regulation when it was passed, so therefore it's not technically an ORW, but it would be when they changed the regulation again. So basically that's what they told us. It's not an ORW right now. It's obviously a very important water supply. We've done everything we can to avoid it. But technically an ORW. I can forward you to that.
That became the prime reason why the western edge of the highway is staying where it is. That's why all the widening goes to the east as opposed to any of it going to the west. We hold that western edge of the existing highway in the crossing area.
And I have another question. There is a desire on the part of the city not to be under rust. At some point, have they be able to connect mostly woods with Moxley? which would require access underneath the bridge.
Yes.
And is the design that all this analysis is done on, does that include that?
Yeah, you must have asked the best.
Sure. No, no. I've been the strongest advocate for that during that meeting, probably.
We've discussed this extensively with the working group of changes to the pilot, and just joking with the number. We're making a connection via Pineville Road Bridge. We're going to be putting bike accommodating shoulders and
to
sidewalks.
Shoulders plus sidewalks.
On both sides of the bridge. So there is going to be that street connection. The desire that we've talked about was down by the abutments of the bridge. That abutment's getting pushed back quite a ways, so there is room over there to do it.
It moves 50 foot further south.
We did look at that because of the grades and permitting. We couldn't include it as part of this project. However, what we are doing as part of relocating one of the water lines along that abutment and up the wing wall, we are going to be putting in a maintenance access road for the town. So there will be an area where vehicles with the purpose of maintaining the water supply can drive under there.
It's a gravel service road, which is kind of like the fire carriage roads which run to that property. The problem was to take it to that next lift to creating a path. All of a sudden we're facing ADA issues. And we'd have a whole lot of disturbance, which was going to force us into a variance. The project can't deal with a variance issue because of the time frame. So therefore, the idea was that we're doing this, and the city could come later on and deal with the process of getting through permitting if they were so interested.
Right, but there would be room for that.
Physically, there would be room there.
We're not precluding that from happening in the future.
And the other thing that I know Andy's...
It'll be greatly improved.
That Andy's talked about too is the issues with right-of-way and obtaining a permit for access. We are going to work with we're in the process of developing right-of-way plans.
Okay.
That won't be till the end of this month, but I haven't forgotten that comment from the town, actually from you, the mayor. So we will look at language. We'll talk to our right-of-way department on language that, at a minimum, won't preclude you from doing that if it can't be included in the right-of-way plans, but it won't preclude you from doing that. I just don't know if we can specifically say anything to that effect that will be used for future shared use pathways.
If you've been already at the Route 1 bridge, you'll see it's going to end up similar to that where there's a distance there to work with underneath it. So, whereas right now there's nothing. It's just
we'll do whatever we can in terms of language to not prohibit that or to include future permits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. So we'll see what the next meeting will be.
Could you just remind us of the date?
It's the 20th. Okay. 20th.
So 7 p.m.?
Yes.
As all of you probably know, we do have a meeting tomorrow night on this particular document.
That's the public hearing, the broader public hearing. Right?
7 o'clock.
That's the Amesbury Middle School. Amesbury. Okay.
So, do you expect there'll be any more comments? People just got a copy of the results for the services?
Comments on this meeting?
Yeah.
I don't, having it reviewed myself, I don't have any particular comments on it. I think I'm more concerned about our city's engineer's review in combination with that, which I think the setup will work fine for that myself. I don't know if the commission has other concerns. It probably take them, David, get back to me and let me know so I can convey that to you.
Okay.
Since they just received
it. If you have any concerns, what
Yeah, and if I could just ask the commissioners if you could take a look at it, tomorrow, let me know by the end of the day tomorrow, that way I can give them some time to incorporate whatever we have, if there's any concerns or questions.
I haven't had a chance to read that, but maybe more specific, I know that stormwater is the biggest, hardest issue, but if you could put some wording in there that more directly acknowledges that there will be study for any wetland or other wetland resource area.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
right with that. One thing that's not on here right now is the Olio conservation restriction. And David Santamana is here right now. If you want to go to that, and then we don't have anybody from Phillips right here. We just got the documents.
Just the documents, right. Phillips, I just wanted to mention that I just got today the NOI filing for Phillips, so that'll be on our next meeting agenda, but I wanted to make sure you had it tonight since we're all here. That was one of the outstanding questions of where is that. So you have it now. I haven't had a chance to take a look at it actually myself because we just got it this afternoon. But we'll see if there's any questions or concerns in front of us.
Okay. So I sent that out to all you guys, right? The O&O CR. And Doug had one question on it regarding the who has to do the watching of people dumping stuff and whatever. You want to talk about that, Doug? Or?
Yeah, the document, as it was presented to us, states that the grantors can't dump or won't permit anyone else to. The problem is eventually the city will become the grantor as we take over the restricted fee, which means we have to monitor, by the terms of the restriction, the homeowners and whether yard waste gets thrown into the restricted portion of the property. So I suggested to David that we eliminate the or permit others to phraseology so that the city doesn't have to undertake that responsibility. I haven't heard back from David, so...
can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Right now it says the owner of the property, which is currently Springwell Investments, the developer, but will eventually be a city. And the owner of the property will not either do all the litany of prohibited things on the property or permit others to. Mm-hmm. My problem is with the or permit others to, because one side of the property, of course, is the homeowners that are going to be there. And a number of them will butt the conservation land. And I don't want the city to have to be in the position of having to monitor the homeowners to make sure they're not putting yard waste in CR property.
I'm not sure that the phrase or permit others implies that the city is obligated to monitor.
Sure it is. Because Greenbelt is the holder of the restriction. It can come to the city and say, you know, you're not following the terms of the restriction.
That would only be if the city did permit.
Well,
it doesn't say that the city has to prohibit.
If something is dumped there and the city doesn't do something about it, then the city's permitting it to continue. That's my concern.
Maybe before we get into the wordsmithing of this, could I do a quick overview?
Sure.
Of sort of where things stand. Not to consider it far enough, but
there's a couple of copies.
I'm sorry, I didn't make enough for. actually, can I grab one of those back there for your comments and insights?
We should share.
Okay. So, just for the record, my name is David Santamana. I'm the director of Land Conservation for Essex County Greenbelt. I want to thank the commission for making your agenda for me on short notice. Greenbelt has been asked and has agreed to hold the conservation restriction on the Olio Woods property, which is required under the planning board's special permit as they recently issued it and as it has been amended. This has obviously been a long running process by its nature, but also by virtue of the change in ownership, etc. So at this juncture, we do have a draft conservation restriction. It's been submitted to the state for their review. I do have some comments from them that I have not yet fully assimilated, but I suspect them to be, you know, there's a lot of them, but I don't think any of them are substantive. But I did want to make sure that the commission had an opportunity to comment both as the approving authority within the city and as I pointed out, eventually the owner of the property, which the CR will encumber. So that's that's the context of this. Obviously, the developer is desirous of moving this process forward as quickly as possible, which we share. So I said I would try and elicit comment from the commission. So Doug indeed did flag his concern about the city being responsible for third party violations, which is a concern that not only public owners have but private owners as well. So I'm sure we can come up with some language which we expect the city to be responsible in terms of monitoring its own property, but we don't intend to come down with a ton of bricks on the city.
Yeah, I think realistically, though, Greenbelt's going to be monitoring the CR as a holder of the CR, and we'd be expecting Greenbelt to spot problems. The question then is what happens if the problems are spotted, and
correct.
Who's responsible for dealing with it, and to what extent, and at what cost.
Right. And you know, we take the position that as the holder of the restriction, we're monitoring enforcing the restriction, we're not managing the property. That said, we have always been willing to work with grantees to address third party issues that have arisen over time. So.
Well, I would think that if Greenbelt or somebody else was out there and saw that somebody was dumping stuff in there, if it was in the wetlands area, we were so notified, we could issue an enforcement order. Now, if it's a non-wetland area, I'm not sure what
we give notice
to would come under.
Well,
it must be the ordinance that says we don't dump on city property.
Yeah, I mean,
restricted property will be largely wetlands, but not all.
But I think to me, that wording just means that we won't permit it. Doesn't mean we have to be out there every day on patrol. But if somebody permits it, we should take some action.
What do you think the action should be, Paul?
Well, in our case,
we have no budget for this, aren't likely to have any anytime soon.
Well, what may happen is when if we get an ordinance, we'll have finding authority for that area.
Well, at least for the wetlands,
right.
For the resource areas.
Sure. And maybe a health department
may
issue.
Be coterminous with the borders.
Well, I mean, the city, you could promulgate regulations for the open space. I mean, whether it's separate apart from the wetlands, but it's easy to say, here are the rules and regs for the use of this space, usual stuff, dawn dusk, shooting and dumping.
I don't have a problem with language such as I've seen. You have two data other restrictions that provide that the owner and the holder will cooperate to
right.
address third-party violations. But this is a little bit harsher than that and a little bit stronger. And so I
right.
have a problem with it.
Right. And we're happy to work with the commission on some middle ground.
Perhaps, since there's a little bit of back and forth over this, perhaps I could take a look at this and draft a rephrasing of that for both sides to take a look at it.
Well, Doug made a suggestion, which I can...
And that, to me, seems the most appropriate way of doing it. That's why you just framed it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
What's your suggestion for replacing the language? I mean, you're just striking that?
I would just strike it. I would say, basically, the owner will not violate the restriction and eliminate the or permit others to violate. I would strike the or permit others to violate phrase. Because I don't think it does anything other than burden the city.
Does the omission of that imply that the city can permit others to? I mean, is the city property?
Well, it's going to be the city's property, so the city can certainly choose to enforce whatever ordinances or policies or protocols or regulations the city has about dumping on city property, and that's fine. But I don't think we really need to get into a contractual document that requires us to do that. Why should we?
Well, there must be currently some restrictions against dumping on city property.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about what if the city chooses to permit others, third parties, to
dump on city property,
right?
Hadn't thought of that. Hadn't thought the city would do that.
Maybe you're more cynical than I am.
This restriction is really preventing that from happening. The question is, does the city have an active role or a responsibility beyond just saying we will not be a party to anyone dumping there, go beyond and say the city is also liable for not preventing or not being able to prevent someone else from doing it? And I think the balancing act is maybe that the city should be responsible for not violating it directly, the city violating the restriction. And I would go so far as to say maybe coupled with being able to help out wherever feasible, wherever possible, with enforcing it. But maybe not so much as to say the city is only responsible for any third-party action where somebody goes across the property line, dumps something. I don't think the city should be directly responsible for that if the city has absolutely nothing to do with it. That's a little different. The city should not violate it and should not prohibit in any way them from enforcing it. But maybe wherever feasible, help out with that. It could be by enforcing city ordinances about dumping. It could be trespassing. You know, it could be well ordinances. But you know, there are many techniques we could use to do that. But
perhaps the language could say something instead of the city will not permit others. Perhaps the city will not authorize third parties to dump.
That's okay.
Either authorize or permit, but you know that sentence clause can stay, and then just add something that says that you know the city is not responsible for the actions of third parties.
Is there anything converse to this in the homeowners association?
I think there was something.
Yeah, I think there probably will be.
You know, maybe we can take care of it that way from that angle.
How so?
The rules of the homeowners association or the rules.
Well, if they have rules, that's fine, but it doesn't. This is a contractual document
it's
between.
You're not going over certain hours.
You can put it in there. I don't know how enforceable it would be.
I don't recall, is the landscaping going to be conducted by, is the association going to contract the landscaping out, or is each owner responsible for their own landscaping? I don't remember.
That hasn't been determined yet, I don't think.
The landscaping, I don't remember, but I do remember talking about the maintenance of stormwater structures, and that is part of the homeowners association.
Yep.
But that's where you'd be most likely to get stuff going, you know, being dumped is with landscaping.
Hmm.
So that's a good question.
I have one comment.
Mm-hmm.
Page 2 of the CR, section D, it just seems to kind of end without saying anything.
It just goes, some of the punctuation is a little bit inconsistent, but it's just supposed to lead into, you know, the series of resource values. Right, if you're looking at...
It says the premises is adjacent to the city of Newburyport's Cooper North Parish Conservation Area.
Yeah.
The increasing the ecological viability and same values are...
Of the area.
Okay.
What do you envision, David, as a timeline for getting a sign-off from the commission?
I just wanted to get the ball rolling tonight. If, you know, I'm happy to come back on the 20th, whatever your next meeting is. I'll just get a chance to go through the state's comments, whatever the pleasure of the commission.
Will we see
another draft after the state's comments have been addressed?
Yeah, I can
provide
that.
Yeah, I think that would be
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and especially where you're not just approving it, but you are going to be the owner of it. Right?
Yeah, we are going to be the city.
Right. You're wearing two hats in a sense. Yep, that would be fine.
It's a lot of some of the next agenda.
Okay.
Could you also look and see about the... I don't think landscaping is included in the New Homeowners Association documents, but
what they have to be.
I thought that there was something about dumping over the end.
That was what?
That there was something about dumping over the end.
Okay.
I'll talk to Michael Green about that and have them get that us that for the next meeting.
Okay.
David, can you clarify, or maybe somebody around the table can, the OSRD plan shows a couple of parcels labeled, is it G1 and G2?
Yeah.
Are those part of the restricted land, or are they not? Or?
They're not. I think those have drainage structures on them.
I'm sorry, where are you looking?
Well, looking at this reduced version of the OSRD plan and these small parcels there. There's small parcels that sort of follow the perimeter of the building lot.
Those are detention areas.
So they're adjacent to the wetland areas, but they're drainage systems.
And they're not part of the restriction, they're not part of the city.
Right, they're essentially not open space that would be preserved because they're part of the drainage system.
So who's going to own those?
The association is responsible for maintaining those. If the city accepts the streets, we've already actually talked about the city accepts the streets, the city would be accepting only the roadway right-of-way, the pavement, and drainage pipes, but the basins would be responsible for the homeowners association, not the city. So.
So what would be needed for the city is just the quote-unquote remaining land, which excludes G1.
Okay. Till next time.
Okay. Thank you.
No, thanks. All right, let's move on to... Do we have anybody here for 237?
We don't. I just wanted to mention, this will be on our next agenda. We had talked about it previously. This is the house where, I don't know, I forget which ones of you were here the last meeting, but this was the house. There was a question about whether or not the pilings that are there were sufficient to support the house. You know, it was presented, it sounded like at the last meeting that it was an exterior foundation wall that might have been replaced with pilings or some sort of replacement like that. And so I was asked by the resident to go out there after the meeting, it was the day after. I went out there, took some photographs. I'm going to be putting that in the next packet for you. And he wanted to revisit that with the commission mainly because the house is essentially on pilings. I'm not sure how structurally sound the whole layout is there. That's one of the questions that was raised by the commission at the last meeting. You know, where does that fall? Is it entirely new reconstruction, at which point we're talking about pilings? He was saying, you know, it's on pilings right now, and there are these panels that are breakaway panels as well. So the extent to which it already meets some of the requirements. So he wanted to revisit that with the commission. I took some photographs that I'll put and distribute in advance of the meeting so you can get a better sense of what's there. We hadn't already been out there. But just wanted to know that that's something we'll have to take a look at again. He didn't have anything yet from a structural engineer, which one of the questions was, what could he do with the existing structure without replacing it? What's the nature of the work to be done structurally? I did advise him that he would want to get that since that was one of the questions the commission had at the last meeting.
So he'll have that for next time?
He didn't commit to any date certain to have it. I advised him he had it before the meeting so the commission could have a chance to take it in advance. But that's where I left it alone. I basically said you should have this for the next meeting, so he's aware of it.
Okay. We'll do Phillips Drive after. I'm assuming you don't have anybody here for that, so we can just...
Yeah, and actually, frankly, that was just so you have the notice of intent. That's on our next agenda. We posted and advertised. It'll be on our next agenda. I just wanted to make sure you had the package that's around here this evening so there isn't any real discussion for this evening other than that there were originally some concerns about the time frame that you'd be able to file. I think probably due to some financial issues, which I guess have been resolved. So they filed, and they'll be on the next agenda.
Okay. All right, certificates of compliance, request for determinations, and minor modifications and extensions. Number one is Union Specialties, 3 Malcolm Hoyt. Bill, is that you?
Yes, that's me, I guess. Eric Orman is here with me on this. I believe there was an issue at the last meeting, and we don't know what they are, so...
We're talking about some what we thought was missing.
If you're looking at the property on the left side, there's a driveway that goes back toward the loading dock, and it makes a bit of a dip. And the question was, there's no berms, you know, that would call out the original plans, and the extent to which that might allow some stormwater to go into the wetland directly as opposed to being captured by the berm and sent into the catch basin close to the wetland.
Yeah, there's actually three or so little drainage swales, I guess I'll call them, going out to the main.
That's swale. Yeah, that side swale was added, and that's to pick up the drainage off the loading dock, the one on the right beside the building.
But this. You talk about the berm here?
Yes.
Further down, you'd like them to add a berm here? Is that what?
Well, there was it was showing the berm, and I know when we were there, I think it's around here somewhere. I think there are two or three stones.
Also, beyond where this, it's area where the berm is compromised?
I don't think there was a berm. There is no berm there.
Oh, okay.
No, that runs off to the berm. It's sort of a French drain system
right,
in here.
Right.
So the water runs into that French drain type structure, which eventually catches into the wetland.
Okay, was that so? That wasn't part of the original plan, so I
asked
that.
Okay.
That was our main question on what that was. It seems like a fairly significant change. It wasn't part of the original plan.
There were berms there at one point that we showed on the plan as an existing berm. So if they're not there now, then they were knocked out by plows or whatever.
So we're going to put them back in?
Well, the question is, they're asking for a full certificate of compliance, so the question is if there's a missing component that might allow stormwater to go into the wetland directly. I think that was the sort of question I had when I was there, but I thought the commission was referring to, so perhaps there should be berm added back in to prevent that from happening. I don't know, but I just wanted to make sure that I was addressed.
Yeah, well, never intended to be taken out as it was, you know, just showing the plan, so I haven't gone and looked at it recently, so I'll go look at it tomorrow.
Okay. We'll put you on the next agenda.
Motion to continue to this morning.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next one is Thomas Lawrence, 12 L Street. Request for minor modification. Tom Lawrence here, or whoever.
Yeah, my name is Bernard Christopher from Great Hills Post and Union Company, and if we're fortunate enough to get everything going, then I will be the builder of the house. And I was asked by the owner to come here tonight to answer any questions that you might have regarding the deck.
As I understood at the last meeting, there was a concern because the plan that was submitted looked similar to an original layout that we did with the commission before it was approved, and the commission had approved the plan with essentially the language, looking back at the record, the language, it was a motion to approve the order conditions, this is incorporated in the decision, with the condition that the applicant submits a new plan showing the removal of the triangular front portion of the deck before any work begins. The So we have, there's two plans that have been submitted thus far, but the more recent one that you received in your packets, the 11x17, that shows the deck as they're proposing it right now with, I think, one staircase going down and a rectangular portion that goes off of the main deck area. That is in part in the location of where the triangle was, but it's smaller than the triangle that was originally in there. So I have, if anybody wants to see the original plan, I have the layout of that. Pass that around or not. So this plan is, they've adjusted the plan from when we last brought this up, and the commission had some hesitation about approving that adjustment at that time.
So what's the latest plan, Andy? Is it the 1129 revision?
That's correct. Yep.
And how is that different from the one we had last?
Just because I don't think you'll be able to see it from a distance, I'll just pass this around. If you want to take a quick look and compare against your plan, you'll see there's a triangular shaped area. They've actually, I think you brought back the fence as well, which you, at that time was more of a point than rather than a triangle. It's now been brought back on this plan, so there's a less area that's being fenced in.
Is that the May 3rd plan?
I believe so, yeah. That's all they have made news.
April 14, 2010.
There's an approval date, I think, on there of May 3rd, which might be where the date you're getting. So I think that's right.
There's also a revision of November 1st.
Right.
This is our problem: is the confusion as to which plan is the plan.
But we never got the plan that they were supposed to give us.
Correct. At the last meeting, we took up the first plan that had come in that presumably was to be in compliance with this condition. The commission had some hesitation, saying it doesn't look like it's what we discussed.
Right.
They came back and revised it, which is where you have this 11x17 plan today that's dated 11/29/11. So that's the most recent plan that they're working with, what they'd like to construct. It's intended to address the commission's concern about removing the triangular area. To the extent to which it does, that's up to the commission. But that plan is intended to address that condition that the revised plan be submitted. And you can see against the original plan the comparison.
So this plan, I've never got a modification, it shows two sets of stairways. This new plan dated 1129 shows one with an extension back down to the
right.
And this extension is smaller than the one that we got on the plan for November 1st.
So they've eliminated one of the staircase areas as well, so there's not two of them, now there's only one that needs to be constructed.
I see two stairways on the elevation here in the lower corner, only one on the overhead view.
Yeah, with every revision, stairways disappear and then reappear.
So this
original plan had one or two stairways.
So this stairway is not going to be built.
Those stairways look like they are. The one on the left looks like it's the entryway, the main entryway stairway. And the other one, I think would be on
so
the.
So both of these, you had two over here before.
Gotcha. One was on the other side of the deck. So this is active then, the flux system,
right?
Okay.
So the fence, what is the style of the fence again? Is this a fence line?
With the X's, yeah.
Yeah.
The,
And what was the style of fence that was going to be? Just curious.
Yeah, actually, was not involved with the fencing part.
Okay.
I'm involved mainly with the structure.
Okay. You involved at all with the walkway that goes from this proposed 25x25 stone driveway to the house?
No, at this point.
Because I noticed that was in addition to your new drawing.
it's also a stairway. You, typically what you would have in there, that would be your underneath access, and you may have a water heater in there or a heating system.
Right, but did we approve a 12-foot by 12-foot utility shaft?
No, 3.5 by 3.5.
Yeah. So that part's wrong. It says 12 by 12.
What are the November 1st drawing, the dimensions of the extension on the deck is 10 by 30. What are the dimensions of this new extension?
The extension outside from the house is 8 feet all the way around.
This one's 20 by 8. This one's 10 by 30. This extension. This extension, just this portion, doesn't have any dimensions.
It's, would be cantilevered out, but it would be 22 across, and you'd be up approximately 6 feet.
So the request for modification is as it stands to include all of the changes that are in the latest
That's
plan.
Well, I think at the last meeting we suggested that this not be a minor modification, but an amendment.
What do you say, an amendment meaning a hearing?
A formal amendment.
Okay.
Yeah, and it maybe get us to, some corrections made on here. Okay, the new walkway, the four-by-four, the Cody Chase.
The walkway's not here.
Yeah, but on this one, it wasn't here. You know, I think it's just we have a real moving target.
Yeah.
And we never. So this part of the deck up here is new. That should change. This is new. That's it. It's new.
Send any comments on this, what we need done, or do we just want to go with an amendment?
I mean, if I could make a suggestion, in either case, it would be helpful to the applicant to give some direction as to how it might be resolved on the plan so that whether or not you're accepting as a minor modification or an amendment that you're getting something that conforms to what you're concerned about rather than having them come back and still not know exactly what would be acceptable.
Well, I thought that, we had discussed it at the last meeting. And they could have made some changes, but not sure what they were.
Well, in order to make a decision, we need a detailed list of every modification. I think we're just trying to find them on the this by looking at comparing.
I think
it's sort of like, you know, we're comparing the pictures here.
We don't have a picture of what was approved.
If I may, just from what I can tell, the changes. Put a highlighter to show on this one, but
from the
original
approval, not from interim revisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Just
what you'll see is this fence here is the center of the district. This is like this.
That was not approved.
No, it was not approved, and this was the one that the commission said that I moved this triangle.
We never got that plan.
No, I'm saying this is the last plan that was approved with the condition that you revised when we submitted.
Which we never got.
Right, yeah. We never got. And then this was a smaller component.
Let's see, there's another note.
So that's, those are the differences that you're seeing here. There's a, so the staircase component here. Those are basically the changes in the layout. The question is, you know, is this acceptable? Is this reduction? This is part of the triangle that the commission has previously did want, but it's smaller than the triangle. And the staircase is bigger too. So, you know, it's not quite as that's exact, maybe. But this is also to increase those different locations. And it's a question of, are these factors that, you know, could we do another modification or an amendment? And if so, which one might be acceptable so that they can prepare a plan that would be commercial satisfaction?
What's the difference between an amendment and a minor?
A minor, you say, yeah, okay, go ahead.
And then
require the file, you know,
okay, right.
You get the real plan.
Yeah, well, we don't know how big that new deck is.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff
that is
called out of play.
But we need a second, a new narrative or an amendment to the narrative that details these in text form,
yeah,
and a list form all of the changes. I think the biggest problem with that I can see is that 12 by 12 chases.
Can the equipment be fit on? I mean, is the size an issue for the equipment? Can it be reduced back to the original size or something smaller so that the commission could accept that? Because that seems to be a much larger, you know, element than it was originally. Is there something to reduce that? Is there a reason why?
I mean, if it's specifically used for a chase, then that smaller size is fine.
Yeah.
The reason why it was increased, it was going to be used as a stairway, too.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's
great.
Yeah. I mean,
not the stairway, but it's not.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we're willing to proceed however you decide. You know, if you wanted to continue just to be a chase, then that's acceptable.
Well, that's what they'd apply for.
Right.
Whatever the commission feels is appropriate, I think the minor modification is probably the plan procedure for it. So it's a question of what is acceptable to you on the plan. I'm not sure that it needs a, you know, formal amendment process to do it, but certainly there should be some resolution for whatever the plan.
Yeah, any additional detail that you want in the plan, if you could give me just that information, I could have it back to you within a day or two.
So maybe, like Joe said, we just submit comments to Andy, and Andy can communicate them to the applicant.
And is it the intention of that it would be reviewed and approved presumably at the next meeting, or because that would be 2 weeks out from tonight? And I just want to make sure both the applicant and the commission are aware of time frames that might be applicable. You know,
if it's a minor modification, it's got a minor.
Right.
Okay.
And
yeah. Right.
These things that are looking here are not minor.
Yeah.
So
it's getting less minor as things go on.
Yeah.
Right.
Can I ask, what particular modification are we talking about? I'm a little confused here. My understanding is there's basically two components that changed. Removing a staircase, you consider that a modification. Is that a minor modification, removing a staircase?
Well,
I mean, we put the staircase back in,
I would read this line.
You can see it's all in total, too.
Yeah, so you put that. So if they, you explain there's three pieces that are in question of the staircase, which could be put back in if they have to do that. The chase, which is if there had to be, so be it. We just, and the deck, we didn't really know the answer to the deck. It's kind of what the commissioner, what is the answer on the deck? Can you give some
Guidance on that? I don't think the removal of the staircase is an issue for the commission, and I don't want to speak for the commission directly, but I don't think that's the issue. I think it's the increased chase area, that size, is one issue, and the second issue being in the triangular area that they originally approved, and it was requested that it be reduced on the submitted plan. In this case, there's a rectangle that's being kept within that triangle, so it's actually not removing the entire triangle, which is what the commission said.
So if you remove the that addition, that triangle?
Well, right now your plan shows a rectangle, so that rectangle.
Right, if you remove that rectangle,
right,
then now it would be your linear plan. I don't think that's a problem. I think we've talked about that, and that's fine. Okay, that can remove and put it back to Chase. I can't speak to. That's the general contractor. You have to put, be able to put some.
Yeah, the chase can be reduced inside. We just eliminate that staircase inside. That's all.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not understanding what needs to be approved. Or we could certainly get you a plan reflecting these things you speak of. I think that would be easy. Tomorrow we'll get the engineer to print it off.
But I think with those changes, it sounds like that would meet the commission's concerns, those two changes. I think the question is that if that is the case, if it does satisfy the commission mechanically, do you want it submitted to the office, signed off by the agent? Do you want it submitted to the office and set on your next agenda, and you approve it at that point as a modification of the decision, what mechanically, how do you want that done, such that the building commissioner knows what has been finally approved?
Well, I would like to see final plan.
I would like to see the plan that we never got, and then I'd like to see a plan with what they're proposing for changes, and it sounds like you just eliminated two of the changes.
That's correct.
And the only other change would be the removal of the staircase, which I think is fine. The chase is back 3.5 by 3.5, and the extension on the deck is being removed.
And the fence is coming in a little bit, too.
Yeah. Now, do we need them to get rid of the staircase?
Which staircase?
This plan, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I can't figure out what they're really talking about.
As a stand now, there's a stair on the side and a stair on the 12x12-foot chase.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how we present.
Right, but if they move that stair, it's out of the side of the chase.
Chase would go back to 3.5 by 3.5.
Right.
The rectangle would be removed.
And I would think that the building department wanted you to have two stairs.
We'd still have 2 meters.
Well, there are two. There were three, I think.
There were three.
So now there are two.
Where would the second stair go if the stair comes out of the 12 by 12?
It would be interesting.
I mean, if these stairs were, open, as opposed to entirely closed, there would be a set of stairs there.
Yeah.
It's just the enclosed, shaft or chase that, that's the...
Well, the thought process was that you'd have utilities in that area, mm-hmm. and then you'd have access from inside the house, and you wouldn't have to go down the stairs and access it that way. That was the reason.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I think they remove that deck and reduce that utility shaft. They come in with a plan that shows it the real. I could accept that as a minor modification.
And we still need a plan to know that. Well, that's what that would do.
Well, no. Yeah, it is because of me taking off that
deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what it would be, those two items?
Those two, and on the plan of record, you got to say what that walkway is going to be.
Okay. It says it on the...
It says it on one of the original ones, but then that vanished.
I'm sorry about that. Did you add something different? This, there's a label for this walkway, direct roll-up walkway. This is on an older plan. It's not labeled
at all.
Laid into the back?
Yeah.
The walkway is there. It's not labeled.
Not like, no, okay.
It is actually. It's just, you took the arrow off.
The works. Oh, he did. That's right. He did take the arrow. That's
what's the difference in arrow?
So, the walkway is not a problem. Yeah, it's exactly as we approved anyway. So, it's just the arrow needs to be replaced. Okay, so I'm not clear now. So, where do we go from here?
It sounds like you to resubmit that plan, the commission would take us up at the next meeting, and then presumably based on the discretion, approve that minor modification.
Okay, that's what we're going on. One being on me, one of the problems we're running into is that the property is supposed to close next Friday, and it's just going to be delayed, and they can't close until this process is done.
I'm sorry, the department?
No, the purchase of the property.
Oh, okay.
Well, normally...
I mean, that's not your problem.
Yeah.
We just have to schedule, find out what your needs are, so we can... we have to delay a closing, we'll delay a closing. Just not clear. There's a little bit of... Can you clarify exactly how this was approached, the fact that we bring back a plan? Maybe it wasn't your fault, maybe it was the seller's fault. But he didn't communicate it really well as what was needed. So I want to leave it tonight to make sure we're very clear as to what you guys need.
But it sounds to me like if you're able to submit that plan prior to the next meeting, the commission can come review it and make sure it's consistent with what we talked about just now. The commission could approve it next 2 weeks from now, Tuesday the 20th, and then the next day you would have a decision and approval that would be acceptable, presumably for your closing, to show that it's now in compliance with the decision. And then when you want to do the closing, that's
there's no way that we could have that done just at our office. We have to have some of the whole commission.
That's mechanical for the commission.
Yes.
Frankly, I wouldn't be all that comfortable with it because of all the different plans we've got.
Yeah.
Are you clear on what the...
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear
on the issues that we have.
We moved that extension on the deck extension totally. And the chase to the back of it, where it is, and the staircase can come up. Single staircase off the west side of the building is okay.
Yep.
This one.
Yep.
And that would just have to be called out as a minor modification. That would be the only modification at that point, would be the deletion of that stair. So you're suggesting we put it back in?
No.
Or not?
But the modification would just request that we approve that. So if we put the staircase back in, you don't have to have another meeting, is that what you're saying?
No, we need another meeting because we need to see the final plan. We need to see the plan.
They need a final plan with the information that they gave us tonight, and then they can vote on it.
Okay.
So things we'd like to see on the final plan. The deck extension is removed. Show that the staircase is removed. The chases change back to the 3.5 by 3.5 that we approved. The fence type, and reattach that arrow to the track walkway.
The second to last thing I didn't catch.
The fence type.
The fence type.
The original plan showed as a snow fence.
Yeah, that's not a building.
They're
not talking about the building.
No, there's a fence on the plan. You need to know what that fence is.
It surrounds the house on the deck, but it's labeled on the original plan as a snow fence, but it's not labeled on this one.
And
is there any way you can summarize this in an email or something so we can get it?
I can give you a bullet list if you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do
you want me to send it to you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Please.
Thank you.
Next meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, next item is Bruce Arlington and M. Kathy Power, 16 Francis Drive, request for determination.
Erosion control, was there another one before that?
Excuse me?
Was erosion control, was there another one before that? Or is it?
We should have the tree, codify the tree, be replanted or replaced with something similar.
I'm going to try to replant it because it is a nice tree.
Mm-hmm.
Should be pretty easy to replant. It's pretty
good. Okay.
All should be with that.
And that would be checked prior to the certificate of compliance. In this case, we were negative information, so. You'd have to sign up on it later on in the office. But.
Okay, then I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion?
Motion to recess for public hearings.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Okay. First on the agenda is Shrem Chemical, 7 Mullican Way.
I have a few pictures. Here's the first picture is
the culvert showing water sitting at the culvert under the driveway. And the second one just showing that there's a, you know, there's a puddle here and here it's dry and the culvert is down that way. And this is just water sitting in front of the building towards the other end. So obviously tonight we'd like to get your permission to allow them to degrade it this way and reshape it so the water can drain away from the facility.
So the swale has become filled with sediment and is not conveying the water away?
Yeah, I'm not so sure. It's been full of sediment. There is some sediment in it, but it's also, I think, it's just settled over the years. Pockets have settled. You know, so it's up and down, and it just doesn't drain well.
Which way does the water flow?
The water flows this way, which this is kind of upside down. If you're looking at it from Mulligan Way, the water flows down that way.
So if you regrade this to get the water off this site, and it flows this way...
Yep. There's a
swale. Would that actually need to be regraded
through? No, because what we're going to do is whatever grade is there is what we're going to hold so the water will get into that swale. The swale from here down is generally pretty dry. It doesn't get any water because the water doesn't get down there. And it basically goes down to Graff Road. So we're going to hold that grade there and work backwards to regrade it so that we don't have to go down and regrade, you know, all the way down to Graff Road and beyond. And once we started doing that, it may never end.
Yes, we know.
Right.
And you're planning on replacing the culvert?
Yes, yeah. It's a 12-inch pipe under there. We're going to put a 12-inch pipe back at the same grades that are there now, so it doesn't... So the idea is not to change any of the hydraulics. It's just the... And, you know, it's... Again, as you know, for the industrial park, you can see the wetland flagging line, which is, you know, basically the front lawn. You know, more than half of this is the front lawn. So, and we figure this is a good time of the year to do it. We're hoping to actually get in there after the ground is a little bit frozen so it doesn't make a mess. And it'll make a mess to be able to regrade it when it's frozen. Well, more frozen than it is now.
Does the swale start at the southernmost point?
Here? This one? No, this actually goes back. Goes back into it. There's wetlands back up here that it goes back into.
Does a significant amount of water flow into this portion of the swale system from the south?
Yeah. It,
yes.
It flows up the ledge to the west side of the site. Is ledge that goes up probably 8 to 12 feet. It's on the ledge. So when it's happened, the water runs off that ledge and effectively is pocketed against that building. This goes way back. There originally was a small wetland back there, and now the wetland is caught between the building and the ledge. A lot of the vegetation, which you see out there, everything on this side, was effectively planted when we did a job out there. Actually, that swale coming to the bottom was rerouted for about 6 years ago, 6 or 8 years ago. The whole swale was rerouted from the office. No, the other side, this is when the office section was put on. So that swale was moved over, and it probably was never put at the current elevation. And that's why you got all the wetlands in the front on the lawn. I had plants in here that was all upland, but because the water pockets in there and slides back across the lawn, effectively it's over 50% sedge, so effectively I had to call those wet.
This lot over here is owned by Strem, and it's all ledge. It's one of the few lots in the industrial park that isn't built out. And water comes pouring off of that, comes down to a beer.
Yeah, on that the swale that runs up, hit me on that one. Is it going to maintain the same elevations as it's currently at?
Yes, from here. Yes, from here it's going to tie in here. Yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be the same.
Yes.
If you guys want to see the aerial of it, I have it up here too. We need to get a projector in here or something.
I can do that.
Would it make sense, or would it benefit the applicant to add or include any type of retention or detention basin in that lawn area?
This year, it's not necessary. First of all, secondly, it wouldn't be effective because
this is already wetlands. So the groundwater is at the surface basically. So you can't excavate there without just digging into water. So like the whole thing is backing up here mainly because this thing is crushed here. And that water never gets here, so because this is crushed it just kind of backs up. And I think the picture shows there's some ups and downs and just doesn't, you know, I mean it's really flat in the whole industrial park, as you all know, so any little change can cause a significant amount of water to back up.
Will this create changes downstream?
No. It won't.
I want to see the air will generalize up.
There's Strem. There's a swale or well, swale on the right side there. I believe it all heads down to this tidal creek. I'm not positive.
Through a pipe that goes
on. I think so. This is Graff. That's a whole upland over there.
The culverts you're replacing can be replaced with something that won't get crushed.
We hope so.
it's
a culvert in the middle. It's a corrugated metal pipe, which I call wrinkle tin. You know, it's the aluminum tin. This culvert here is going to be concrete, so it won't crush. We're going to do it once and hopefully never have to do it again. At least not in my lifetime.
Any other questions?
Do you have a DEP
column? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I got on the website this morning, and the website said it was still under review, but
I
didn't look to see if it was a file number.
Yeah, I didn't actually get that.
I did get it.
It's 051, of course. 0872.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. I just got that today.
We're so busy doing other things. If you're concerned about comments from DEP, I would ask that you know, get an approval subject to addressing any DEP comments. And if they were significant, we'd have to come back and talk to you.
The way they're going right now, you may not get any comments.
It's been a while since we've done this. Old habits die hard. So do we have a second on that? I just seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. Thank you. We're gonna go over the order conditions later if you want to hang around. But
all right.
They typically lose
Matt at the end. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Next item is City of Newburyport Water Treatment.
Thank you. doing with AECOM. This is Lisa Gager with AECOM. We're the city's consultants, and also here is Paul Goldie with the water department, and Peter Harker, the owner's project manager. We were before you, just maybe over a year ago, talking to you about the phase one improvements at the water treatment plant, which was construction of a new clay well and pump station. That job is actually currently ongoing. Hope to wrap it up sometime next July. What we're here to talk about tonight is the next phase of that project at the site, which is it's going to essentially consist of construction of a new spent backwash water utilization tank. It's going to be an 80 by 52 buried structure. It's going to be located in the site of what is now the old clay well. So once a new one is built, we're going to go in. It's located in this location here. For reference, the treatment plant is here. This is Spring Lane. The new clay well is being built here. This is the old clay well. The old clay well is right here. And what we'll be doing is demolishing the old structure and building a new concrete structure in this place. The intent of this structure is right now spent backwash water from the filters. They're washed usually once a day. Probably 80 to 100,000 gallons of water goes into the city's lagoons where solids are settled and then it goes to the river. What we're going to do with the new spent backwash water tank is to collect that water and recycle it back to the head of the plant for full treatment, which will save anywhere from 80 to 100,000 gallons of water that they're currently pumping out of the supply. So it's recycling the water to reduce withdrawals from the supplies. So with that, we have a little bit of landscaping work around it. We're installing a new little gravel access road here, a continuation of the parking lot area that was done under phase one. And we're also, as part of this project, demolishing the old finished water pump station down adjacent to Barber Pond. And we're ripping up all the pavement down there. What we're going to put in its place is we're going to put a loam seed and a little gravel access road to get to the pump station. And we're proposing a small planting strip along the road. There's also other parts of this project which are modifications up at the water treatment plant building. But those are all at the building itself outside of the buffer zone. If you want to go into the impacts.
Sure, can you point to the resource areas were deleted on site. The green lines are showing the flag lines for Bartlett Pond and the Manly Reservoir that's fed by natural springs. And there's some border vegetated wetlands. The orange line shows you the buffer zone off of those resources. And the blue line is riverfront off of one of the natural
Paul's going to take care of that where they get rid of the sediment now as part of the soil scarring process. So they think adding soil to
you? Correct. We actually now get a permit that's used to mix and make the topsoil. AgriSource Francis help it in Raleigh, actually.
What's the, is there a roof on top of the backwash structure, and that is a, what type of material is that?
That's concrete. There will be, some water will leak in to the structure itself. There are hatches, but they're not watertight, mm-hmm. So there'll be some water that gets into there. The rest of the water will run off to the adjacent, I think it's like a 3-foot long strip, gravel long strip around it, and that water will be infiltrated in, and that will pitch.
The old clear well that's being demolished, the holes will be drilled in the slab. That's actually the pump station.
Old finished water pump station.
How thick is that slab?
It's probably fairly thick. There's numerous pipes exiting it. It would be an extremely significant undertaking to take that out, and we really wouldn't know what we're getting ourselves into. Mm-hmm. Date back to the 1800s, so we're, I think it's a good move to leave that in place.
How many holes do you have?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's 5 foot on center, so there will be, I don't know, it's a lot of, that works out to be at Honda.
5 foot on center?
Yeah.
No, I was just curious.
Yeah,
5 foot on center.
That's a big drilling undertaking if it's that thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably, it's probably a 1 or 2 foot thick. But yeah, we looked at taking it off, and it's just the unknowns with doing that, and it's not worth the, I guess, the cost and the risk of what we get ourselves into. So
is there going to be like soil testing of what's underneath it? I'm just thinking if.
But we're not touching. I mean, as far as
aren't you drilling holes through it?
Just the slab.
Right. But what's under the slab? Is there, because it's such an old structure, my only concern is if you're drilling into something that's unpleasant underneath and you're going to start running water through it, is you're going to get anything flushed out of it?
You mean some sort of contamination?
Mm-hmm.
It's not likely any different than what's around it, which water flows through already, right? Around the pump station building?
We've done a lot of digging out there, and for the most, because when we were doing the work at Bartlett Pond, we would put the overflow to the river, and the only time we really ran into trouble was stuff that was located in pipes themselves. I think there was some issue with some material we found inside the pipe, but I think for the most part, we didn't hit anything in that on the Bartlett Pond side of Spring Lane. I think because this stuff was on the riverside. I don't know if anything would have really, how it would have gotten underneath the foundation.
Or whether it was there before they.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that yet. But I guess, we cannot, I guess drill the holes and try to come up with a different way to collect the water so it holds the soil there. And
I guess my only question is, can you test the dirt and see if there's anything in there? Drill to your heart's content. I just don't want to create a plume coming off the underneath there. If they put it over something else, I don't know what's in there.
Yeah, I mean, we could always add that. I mean, we obviously would be drilling until we demolish the building itself, so we could, we could always add it and some tests before they go too far and see what goes. So that's something we definitely add to it.
Do we know the geology of what's under the slab?
It's our about the pond is really adjacent to this station. I'm just thinking now if we weren't to drill holes and we would put a thin layer of gravel or stone and then put the dirt over it, but pipe that stone to the pond, similar like we have to all of these adjacent wells to it, and we filled in over the years. We'll allow all the water that goes down to the top, so to get to the pond where we want the water anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
these are primarily permeable soils. These are permeable soils, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Presumably, with the foundation, there's already some water traveling from upgrading underneath the slab.
I'm sure.
The slab.
And the slab was not included in the calculation of the impervious surface, was it?
No, because it would be lower than seed.
Yeah.
Yeah, some areas can be 5 feet covered.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't added as additional impervious.
It was.
It was added as additional.
It's gorgeous and pervious and now
there's more to
it. Oh, I think it's going to be
yeah, similar to like a rainbow or something.
That's okay.
So you're making up for your lack.
If you can avoid drilling and build a French drain type structure out of get that water over to Barber Pond, which is might even be cheaper to do it that way.
And you know, the area on the opposite side between the Spring Lane and the Merrimack River, we actually did hit some contamination. We broke some clay pipes under another project a few years ago, in 2005, and hit some oils. And it's conceivable that, you know, those were floor drains or something from a pump station back in the 1800s that used to run to the Merrimack River. And they were plugged off at Merrimack River, you know, 100 years ago. And they continue to fill with oil, the word would be that if you blindly drill holes in the floor, you know, perhaps we could hit something for
it. Maybe we go to the plan to do, like say, put gravel on a way to collect the water underneath and direct it to the pond. That way, I mean, that's the best way to do it.
I have a question. There's a dashed line on this plan, but I'm not sure what it is.
That's actually going to be a fence. Oh,
again,
that's the way
I'm going to
work.
Okay. The fence is the line that's
been
set. I did have sort of one unrelated question about the status of Bartlett Pond. Is it a Class A OR?
It's an active water source.
Just curious, because the state said whether we were just talking about the Whittier Bridge.
Make sure we get the same answer.
Yeah, I was just. Yeah. Not that I don't trust them, but.
Just so happens it falls on the same night.
Yeah. We didn't have this, I wouldn't have thought to ask the question.
It wasn't, but it will be. It sounded like. Anything else? So we have that change to the how they're going to handle that runoff. What are we going to do?
We need
a change
to natural homes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we can just make that a condition. And then another condition of a follow up plan is or narrative saying that's no longer part of what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, I think on the plan right now, it's just a group called up to, you know, real holes. I'm saying now we'll probably say, you know, we may have small details showing what the section will look like, we can give you or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a plan B?
Yeah, they're going to fill gravel over.
I was listening. I
that is when.
Okay, thank you.
So the condition would be presumably an approval, but require that they should resubmit that sheet with that
yeah.
That adjustment.
What's the plans of public hearing? Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. Move. We'll have that condition.
Thank you.
You'll be on your way.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, before we do the orders, well, no, I guess we should do the orders first. We'll go in order with the orders. So we have actually, I need a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay, Strum Chemical. What do we have for...
Well, there weren't any special conditions that were brought up for that one. Unless the commission has something to be said, we can go ahead and add to that. And then standard form. Are there any special conditions going on other than the usual? Okay. Well, if there's a motion, there's a form.
Motion to issue the conditions.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And the City of Newbury for Water Treatment Division. Just the...
Yeah, just the condition about not removing the holes.
No holes, revised sheet showing the gravel and the cap for the water.
And then you'll post the dust in your detail.
And that to be made part of the
decision.
Okay.
Yeah, special condition of the land.
Motion to issue an order of conditions.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Okay, one other thing I had was the agreement with Jerry Mayette for the Cooper North Pasture mowing. There were just a couple of changes, and I don't know where the heck I put my copy in it. I asked Jordy to make the changes that we had talked about the last meeting, I think?
Last meeting, yeah.
And he did that. I mean, couple of small changes, I don't know what they were. If you want to take a look at it. And I sent it to our resident legal scholar.
I think one of them at the end of D, I think we had that none of the above should be mixed or stored on the premises and the chemicals and whatnot.
Yes.
Just so that they're not mixed or stored on the premises, not only can they not...
Oh, yeah, and I split off E. I made E and F, because it ended at E last time. There shall be no fueling or maintenance of vehicles on the premises. If you guys approve of this, I'll sign it, and we'll... Have Jerry sign it.
Move to approve it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
I just wanted to make one comment on the Leader Bridge thing.
Yeah.
If the public meeting 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, or whatever, there was a gentleman from Amesbury in the commission who was rather upset about DOT hiring the peer review.
Yeah, he was their agent.
Right.
He was very hot.
Yeah.
We've had issues with Mass DOT in the past, following up on a few things, I think. That's the sense I got talking to him directly. Some projects that they haven't followed up on
you know, maybe erosion control, following conditions that are approved. I don't know what those details are, but that's what you conveyed to me.
So we didn't talk about that at all tonight, but it's Amesbury may have a different view of FST.
Oh, it's not FST. That's an issue they have with MassDOT.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
FST hadn't done a review on those particular applications, so it's not a question of whether FST would do a good review. It's actually MassDOT following up on things that presumably they've agreed to do or promised to do to the commission.
Then you have
to do
that
one strassy,
Route
110. Route 110, yeah.
I go there every day.
I mean, it would be nice to think that this is all about fast tracking and timeliness and everything else, but the cynical side of me says that part of it is controlling the agenda, too.
Part of what it boils down to is they're basically taking the stance we're not obligated to pay the consultant review because we're a state agency, we're exempt. We took issue with that at the Whittier Working Group meeting, which is the three communities meeting together before it came to this meeting last time. The public meeting, joint meeting. The thing they're trying to avoid, the commission's getting into an argument back and forth about whether they have to pay. I think another thing came up in Amesbury before, they tried to argue they're going to need to do that. I think that there's a difference of opinion between them and DEP, two state agencies on that, as well as local commissions, as to whether they're actually obligated to pay for a peer review. Frankly, I think you'd have enough back and forth, it'd be just a waste of time. Which is why I asked the city engineer if he would take a look at this. He already had it on his radar to take a look at from a stormwater point of view. But I wanted to make sure that we're having our own internal review because it's either fight MassDOT and convince them that they need to pay for it, which you go back and forth over, or pay the commission pays out of its own pocket to have a peer review done. My preference is always to try to do things internally if we have the expertise in house. So the city engineer said he's going to do that, but. You can still press that as they come up at the next meeting and the hearing process say we expect you to pay for this, but my guess is you're probably going to have a fair amount of back and forth with them arguing that they're exempt. And while I disagree with them.
Well, and then with the three communities, too, then what peer reviewer do you select? I mean,
right.
That issue
right.
As well.
And then contractually, how do you arrange that? I mean, we can easily set up a contract, but then you get into the phone calls back and forth and who's agreeing to the additional cost for those hours.
And then we have our own peer review, then we're just pitting that peer review consultant against the one that they hired.
Right.
So
right.
You're just creating, you're just projecting the argument to a different place.
I think we probably would want to see, I mean, that's going to cost an awful lot of money for a peer review. Instead of a project that would cost a small fortune, I don't think we could absorb.
What we have to do is defer it for 6-7 years while a few of us go get master's.
Yeah.
just to give you some background, the reason why I think that the city, and this is unusual really for the city to spend so much time on this, but the city engineer has to look at it because some of the land that they need for the detention area is on the city's property. So that's part of the back and forth we're having right now. And so we need to review it for multiple reasons, multiple levels. The city engineer has also been looking and talking with them about that water line that goes underneath, and you can see on the plans, but where they're pulling the abutment back and the water line's going underneath there as opposed to where it currently goes right underneath the highway and we can't get access to maintain it. So there's multiple reasons why DPW, DPS needs to look at it, the city engineer needs to look at it. So
how much of a review do you expect the city engineer to actually make?
Do you on this?
Yeah.
I would expect the same type of review you'd get out of Christian and Sergi mainly.
Really?
I mean, he would do it. We don't use the city engineer for things like that on subdivisions because the applicant can be required to pay for it. We get the additional hours from the consultant, and we don't pay any hours for that out of our own pocket, essentially. But and he's got lots of capital projects to do, but this is a huge impact. This project will have an impact on the city's water line and the city's water department land. So even if he wasn't looking at the stormwater going into the Merrimack River and the other watershed subgroups that they have in there, he'd be spending a lot of time looking at the plans anyway because of that. So it probably is certainly worth our effort in this case.
One issue they kind of fudged tonight was the under-the-bridge connector, where, we'll provide for a service road, a gravel road, but then if the city wants to do something more late. But will that be closed off and fenced?
Well, no. So here's the issue. That's not necessarily a commission issue, but it's one that we've been pressing. The closest they've come to is really tonight and saying, we'll try to make sure that it can go as part of the right-of-way plans. I mean, They're making it such that there won't be any physical obstructions, with the exception of, they have a call-out of fence on the plans that I can see, but we want to make sure as part of the EIR review that if we can get the state to confirm with us that they are forced as part of their certificate through the NEPA process to provide some written documentation to the city, at least to Newburyport, that they will allow the public to have access once we have constructed or merged with that gravel road in some way. So rather than us chasing them years down the road trying to get legal access to go through there, they provide the gravel access that's at least acceptable, which may be not ADA compliant, but it's, you know, yeah, the width of an area we can use, that they legally agreed to do that now, rather than us chasing the district office later on, you know, to say...
No, I think the legal access is critical, because
right,
later on everybody will forget why it wasn't done the right way in the first place.
Yeah.
So there must have been some good reason why we...
So that was the reason that I had asked for the CPC funds, so we can get our own designer on board and have a little bit, maybe even legal support to chase them back and forth and get them to write, you know, draft up on a license or agreement of some kind that satisfies that. But that wasn't approved. The money was moved to the phase 2 of the rail trail, which is a good project. I think the real push we need to make is just to get them to agree to that during that EIR. It won't really be a CONCOM issue, but it will be something that should come up during the public meeting tomorrow. We'll come up, you know, in our formal written comments on the EIR, and we'll be continuing to press master if you can come a little further and actually commit in writing to the public access. Maybe it's not initially after constructed. Maybe it's after the city adds some sort of a plan for the conversion trail, but that they're agreeing to the idea of public access on the department the same way they do when they do one bridge.
The other side, the west side, I've gone through there across the whole road, the river up underneath the
bridge. Yeah.
And you end up on private property and that stuff, right?
Well, depending on where you go, you can, yeah.
You get to Spring Lane, basically.
Right. Essentially, you'd be going through this gravel road or reconstruction of the gravel road to Spring Lane.
I mean, so it doesn't really, it doesn't get you to Bonsley, because you run into private property.
Right. And we had talked to Paul, who was not gone, but we talked to him and the Water Commission about going through where Bartlett Pond is, having a non-paved or something that's more naturalized, weaving through the trees there to provide a pedestrian access. We hadn't gone to that level of detail. The idea was that with the CPC fund, we would fully design that at a lower level construction than the phase one rail trail, which is much more engineered to meet Mass Highway standards, but something that's more naturalized, a little more compatible with the, you know, the reservoir and all that kind of thing. So,
does the water department's land, Bartlett Pond, is that adjacent to
Moxley? I don't know if it actually touches it, but it does go. It does get you close enough. You go down to a dirt road over there.
There's a right of way that goes south. I'm opening the GIS now because there's a right of way for Ferry Road.
Ferry Road
that goes through
Ferry Road, yeah.
And if I'm assuming that's public road.
Ferry Road, right. Yeah, we would meet at Ferry Road going south through there around the pond, and we'd come south again.
I'm not envisioning that how it actually does connect, where they'll basically send you right back up on the Pine Hill.
No, you don't need to go to Pine Hill.
So you can't get in there.
You can't get in there without going to Pine Hill.
Doesn't Arrowhead Farm in that way?
It's up that way.
Far side.
It's further over though. Yeah, further over.
I think it'd be great because I go in there all the time.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, has anyone brought up the issue of security?
Actually, that was the reason the city council was not in favor of transferring the money. The big reason that they seemed to mention was they didn't feel like prioritization, but also they felt that, well, what if we encourage people to go down there, we made this improvements, and now there's safety issues like that. Hatchet attack, I guess it was in Salisbury. So,
I'm thinking more of like a national security.
Huh. Like water for what? I mean, Paul.
No,
told
I mean
the
they're providing. And believe me, I wouldn't bring it up in front of anyone who might oppose this, but you've got this like almost roadway access underneath this big, beautiful, expensive bridge.
It's possible, but MassDOT certainly hasn't brought up as an issue, and they would have by now.
You have roadway access over the bridge.
You're more likely to bring it.
You have to take it out.
Truck bomb,
you can bring it, just drive it over. You stop it and let it off.
Stop something.
Yeah. Yeah.
All you have to do is hire National Grid. They'll take care of it.
Well, I did mention something to them at the meeting. It didn't. The guy took me too seriously when I asked him where the barges were going to go, whether they were going to fit under the chain bridge. So my intent was to say that I don't want you hitting
the
Hind bridge.
All right, enough dumping on National Grid.
Oh, no, not really.
No, no. Give Mary a chance. So, Julia, you're not going to have to put in for PTSD or anything going through this too, are you? Julie was part of this Aiken Bridge. Were you?
Yeah.
You were
I was working in Cambridge with the for the Conservation Commission, and the big day felt the Aiken Bridge.
Oh,
boy,
that. Yeah. I wonder. I mean, I kind of feel like, even though this is a huge project, and I think you made mention of this, impacts to Newburyport. I don't think they're going to be.
Well,
I mean,
relatively small considering the size of the project, and frankly, anything they do there is going to be an improvement, just because of the stormwater collection and treatment that's going to be better than what it is now. There are some impacts, sort of, but they're right there in this case, and more so because of construction than because of the actual result in the end.
Yeah.
It's just the temporary stuff that they need to mitigate, and that's more of us watering them during construction than it is
right.
The physical work they're doing with the end result.
So, from a peer review standpoint, I don't think it's a big deal.
Having
DOT hire them.
Yeah, because the biggest thing really technically is the stormwater.
Right.
And, you know, if usually the city will hire someone to do that for us all, and then project is big. You know, you have to trust the engineers at some point.
Yeah.
And I think from the stuff that's maybe more relevant to us, if they come and make their presentation to us, the subcontractor, the FSB, if we don't like it, they think they're not telling us the truth, we can always say we want to have a peer review of that piece.
Well, and our own city engineer is going to look at it. It's not, I mean, I might feel less comfortable with it if our own city engineer wasn't looking at it.
Would it be possible to get him to come maybe at one of these hearings when their peer reviewer is going to come?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal would be that, my guess is probably the best way to handle it, is that maybe he'll come to the first meeting that you have, which is 2 weeks from now, if there's about that one, but more importantly, because he's going to look around the plans in great detail, he's already looked at the overall layouts in general. With all these meetings we've had with him over a period of months, you know, probably not necessarily the first meeting him to be there, though he's easy to get regurgitated the same information he's seen for months about the overall layout, but at the second meeting to have him there, the first meeting in January, because then he can comment on what his review of the stormwater was, the calcs.
That's the only logical time we're going to be able to really ask questions probably the meeting.
Right. I think that first meeting you're going to have the overall layout from them and go over the plans in general, but then at that point, John Eric can actually comment and say, you know, because it's an engineer, I've looked at the FSC review on the 23rd, presumably something I have done. I've had a couple weeks to take a look at that. I've seen the Parsons Broker Hive plans, you know, here are my comments and things that I feel like either one of you might have missed or have questions about. And then you'll have that at your second meeting, you can take a look at those comments, and then for the third meeting in January, maybe there's some resolution or responses to those. That's how I see it sort of carrying on.
I thought the meeting upstairs, they said they wanted to have this all approved by
February 10th
or something like that.
February 12th, 10th or 12th, yeah.
And I also thought that we were going to have the hearing on the NOI tonight.
Oh.
So are we 2 weeks behind schedule already?
They had said December 1st for their filing, so I don't think they're behind schedule from when we were.
Okay.
Yeah. And they did file on December 1st, like late in the day, but yeah. They did follow time. I mean, I had assumed that we would go up to potentially either having our last meeting at the end of January or the beginning of February and still being able to, you know, issue a permit whatever conditions or adjustments we need and still meet their time frame, and they can't claim that we're delaying them. I expected 3 meetings on this project through the end of January.
I would not be in the second meeting in
January. Where are you going to be?
Freezing my butt off.
Yeah, creeping.
You might not be freezing your butt off this year, huh?
Yeah.
I'm sitting down on a sheet of lawn.
Anything else, Mr. Chairman?
Does anybody have anything else?
Before that's approved,
belay them.
The determination of applicability. I just want to mention that this morning we didn't decide. So. That I have nothing else.
Because that's apparently the way it's supposed to be done.
I actually have seen it. I've seen it the other way, and I actually prefer it the other way because it gives context for those who are there for it. I've always thought it's a little odd to do it at the end that way.
One of the reasons we switched was so it wouldn't drag quite as much. We wouldn't get into as much of a dialogue on some of the conditions.
The interesting thing is, it
ends up the whole rest of the evening.
You can really get stuck on a condition, and then you've got a whole
bunch. Right, and you got all the other ones.
I initially thought, well, this doesn't make any sense because they're leaving, and what?
That's part of
the reason. But at the end, it went so fast.
Right. Well, that's why I say we're going to be doing this at the end. You know, we tell people if you want to stay, fine.
Right. Yeah, they can usually tell us if we're positive about it, they're going to be putting down some conditions if they want.
Because Paul usually says.
Yeah, right. That's a little thing.
That kind of gives it away.
They should be able to request a continuance if they don't want our group
to
close it.
I had assumed that applicants would be upset by that during the months that I've been involved in the commission more directly, and actually most people are fine with that. I expect that most people say, I want to stick around and see. I think maybe once or twice through that, I've actually seen someone stick around and hear the conditions for them, but they've generally left with a sense of confidence when they leave that they're getting what they thought they were going to get back. For whatever reason, I would probably say if I were the applicant.
Well, by the time the hearing's over, they've had enough.
Well, that's the point, though. The hearing's over. What we ran into was the hearing was over, and then inevitably, we
want to come.
There'd be back and forth, which is a violation of,
That's right.
Rules. Right.
Because technically, they're not supposed to dialogue with you on the conditions.
And they have a good view of the kind of questions that you have. Real issue.
We usually discuss them, before we close the hearing.
Yeah.
But,
All right, I suppose if they don't like it, they can always do it.
That's correct.
Well, we can do that.
Right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.